keeping your sports day moving as you sit still in traffic. This is the 3HL, powered by the Tennessee Lottery, with Brent Doherty, Mickey Ryan, and Don Davenport.
Welcome in 3HL, powered by the Tennessee Lottery. Happy Friday to everybody out there. It's a special Friday. It is Spirit of Sports Fest Friday. We had a big Sports Fest plan, and we were going to come and hang out with you and have a big day, but the coronavirus has taken that, well, that possibility is no longer one that exists. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to celebrate this Spirit of Sports Fest as we have all day here on The Zone. We'll continue that for the next 4 hours on the 3HL program. Thanks to all of our sponsors who make this possible: Paul Winkler, T-Mobile, Tennessee Highway Safety Office, Upscale Male Spa and Skin Center in Murfreesboro. It is the Spirit of Sports Fest all day. Great guest lineup. And we lead off with a guy who's always in the Spirit of Sports Fest, Buck Rising from A to Z Sports, brought to you by Buddy Allen Carpet One.
Hello, friends. This is, I did not realize that the Zone was having this grand, these grand festivities today, and I looked at the lineup, and I saw Kirk Herbstreit, and I saw Taylor Lewan, and I saw so many other important names in sports and in broadcasting, and then I see at the very, very tail end of the thing, me, and I was shocked to see that I was anywhere close to this particular list, or that I was being included in these in the celebration. So I'm happy to be here and lead things off with you guys.
Well, you know, not to put a wet blanket over the top of your short-haired head, but sure, this was your regularly scheduled day, so there is that.
I just happened to be dropped into the middle of all of this. So, yes, it's fine. I'm riding the success and the coattails of many others, and that's good. Just going to have to be okay because I'm here anyway.
Hey, let's start there. You mentioned Kirk Herbstreit. He's coming on with us a little bit later, 3:30 today.
That is a very timely time to have
Kirk Herbstreit. He is trending on Twitter. He said yesterday, "I'll be shocked if we have NFL football this fall. If we have college football, I'll be so surprised if that happens." Dan Wetzel said something very similar to that and got railroaded. Kirk's getting railroaded for having that opinion. For me, too early to say, but would it surprise any of us if the college football or NFL seasons weren't affected by what's going on?
It's just there's so much uncertainty about it. I mean, we were talking about everything that's taking place in New York before we all came to air today, guys, and there's no way of really understanding the scale of this thing until we see an example of it working through one of these hotspots like New York and Seattle have been and other places across the country. I know that that people have been having all kinds of medical professionals on, and that the terminology for our area certainly is one of these spots that's warming up, not quite a hotspot, not quite in the warm stages maybe, but warming up, and we don't know. And so when Kirk says these things, I understand that people are quick to jump down, especially media professionals' throats, when they think that it's being over-exaggerated. And, of course, how could this thing infect, no pun intended, our football season? But we just don't understand how much longer it is that we're going to be a part of this thing. And if it's for the best, if it's in the best interest of people for there not to be football, certainly not fans at games, as we sit here today, then I think Kirk is too far off base. He's being a little more declarative about it than most people are.
Well, and I think it's important to point out that he didn't say he didn't think there should be. He said irresponsible to put that many fans in one place in close proximity, and for the athletes, you know, what if this is still going on and you have an entire football team, Titans, for example, an entire locker room of 90 guys that all of a sudden get sick. Do you want that responsibility as the Titans franchise? Do you want that to fall on you, that you're responsible for what inevitably could be a death? You don't want that. So I think it's important to point out he was more on the like cautious side of, you got to be responsible here.
And it's you bring up the Titans and football teams specifically. The general managers are already pushing back on the league about having the draft. And this is some. I mean, and that's obviously much, much closer. This thing is right on our doorstep. But people are football is going to be viewed fairly or unfairly as this fantastic, glorious return to sports. You heard Ian Rappaport talk about will that be their target in the initial reporting on whether the league would move forward as they initially planned to, and now they're telling everybody publicly, hey, even if it's a television product, this thing is going to go on because they're caught up in the idea of it. It's a fantastic image. Everybody's celebrating football. Football is already the most beloved sport that we have as a nation. NFL and college football, 1 and 2 by a long shot. And to try and keep things normal just for the sake of the NFL and the optics of it, which that particular league has proved to us matters more than them than the actual doing and change for the good of things. I'm with Kirk in that I don't like where it's trending. I mean, we just don't know enough to know whether we will have a football season or not have a football season.
That's a very measured take, Buck. I'm really impressed.
Well, listen, I mean,
pretty well thought out, measured, not really a hot take necessarily.
Because we're a bunch of slaps talking about sports trying to figure out our way through the coronavirus. I mean, yeah. Come on. Like, I'm sitting here.
Touche.
I'm doing a streaming show live 5 nights a week about this thing, and I'm constantly having to learn the information. We all are, right?
Yeah.
We're trying to be, because we have a duty to the people who we talk to on a regular basis. It is our duty to be informed. It's our duty to be measured about these kind of things. You can have a hot take on who the Titans quarterback should be in 2020, but I am not going to be the person who gets out there with the coronavirus hot takes and tells people exactly how they should be behaving, because it is reckless, frankly, to not take both sides of these things into account and not to consider all options.
That's honestly where I get, people are so emotional on both sides of this. Like, I've heard, you know, Clay Travis calls them the coronavirus bros or, you know, people that don't think it's any big deal. You know, it's just like politics. Like, people are so far away on each side of this thing. And that's what kind of irritates me. That's why I look for like really measured things and really measured information. So when I hear things like the United States now has more confirmed cases than Italy, and then they move on to the next thing. I really think the responsible thing there is to say, though the United States has 5 times the population of the country of Italy, it's almost like it's the alarmist and the alarming news really kind of irritates me. But the other side, too. So what do you do?
Well, you try to be discerning. I mean, it's what we're all trying to do. You just try to take in the new information as it comes across. You try to be discerning in where you're getting your information from. I know Clay Travis means a great deal to 104.5 The Zone, and he's somebody who matters very much to Nashville, but I'm be damned if I'm going to be listening to really much of what Clay Travis is telling me on social media about the coronavirus. I'm sorry, there are people more qualified for that job, and it's fine. I understand that he's got good points that he's making, all of these things. It's just that's not for me personally, whatever. You're putting responsibility on people. I mean, I was talking to my girlfriend about this today, and she is more attuned to things going on in the world than at any other time in both of our lives. News has not been essential to people of my generation. We can cherry pick where we get our information from, whether it's Snapchat, whether it's Instagram, whether it's Twitter. Like those things can be tailored based on the individual. And now that we are all experiencing this thing together and all of the news is coming from one particular place or, you know, a variety of different networks, you're having to keep attuned to this stuff because it's important to your day-to-day. I mean, this is the thing that we're all having to do. And I think it's, fortunately, I think it's leading to a more informed populace. But this is, you know, this is much deeper than sports talk.
I want the non-agenda info. That's what I want.
That's all you're looking for. Just give me the information. Give me the facts.
Just the facts.
Yeah. All right, Buck, so if you're Roger Goodell, would you proceed as you are right now with the draft, like he said yesterday in a statement he would?
I mean, if I am in the position of Roger Goodell, absolutely not. There are too many people at risk. What people don't consider is you think about the draft prospects. You think about the agents. You think about the media. You think about the teams and personnel that are there at these physical things. Now, this is obviously going to be different in this particular situation. But even if they just turn it into what is a television product, the amount of directors, producers, all of these behind-the-scenes people that are going to be called into action for a three-day period working long hours and be in probably closer than needed spaces, it's just too big of a risk at a time when we're telling everybody, hey, stay 6 to 10 feet away from the next human being. I have been offended by the amount of people that have swerved when I'm walking around or walking. I went to jog the steps at the state capitol yesterday, and not only is it swarming with people who are mostly there for an Instagram picture and decked out in Lululemon, I am getting ducked by people because I have no idea. Maybe I look like somebody that carries the coronavirus. Maybe that's something that everybody is experiencing. But people are taking this rightfully to heart, and to fly to what the NFL would do in keeping things as normal would fly in the face of everything else that they're preaching publicly.
Yeah, what they're saying is, and we could talk more about this on the other side, and if you've got an opinion, 615-737-1045, teams have been told to prepare to draft outside of facilities with limited staff. That's the commissioner doubling down on, as Don said, the NFL draft will happen as scheduled, according to him doubling down again on that issue.
He even threatened basically disciplinary action for anyone who spoke out against the draft happening. Literally, that's something else that Roger Goodell has done in a league memo to clubs. We can get more into that, more into a whole bunch of stuff. Buck Rising from A to Z Sports, our guest as we start the Spirit of Sports Fest episode of 3HL. Buck will be with us all the way throughout this hour. HL powered by the Tennessee Lottery, Spirit of Sports Fest. That's what we're doing today all day long on the Zone. Buck Rising from A to Z Sports hanging out with us. We will talk Titans with Buck, but we have some callers on the line who wanted to maybe carry this very current conversation about COVID-19 on a little further. Our man Chuck in The View will lead us off in this segment. Chuck, thanks for checking in.
Yeah, hey, Chris. Thank you. I just wanted to give a shout-out to Buck for trying to stick to the facts there. There's three types of lies: statistics, and damn statistics. As far as the conversation around the former Tennessean that now lives in L.A., I can't believe it. I'm agreeing with PK. It makes my skin crawl to say that. But the point that he made last week about there's times that you're looking to make money and entertain, and then there's times where you got to tone it back and take one on the chin like the rest of us. I just want to say there's a lot of apologists for the said individual out west, but the reason why Buck doesn't agree with him and doesn't want to listen with him because he's a tool. With that said, I have a question for the crew.
Wait. Buck is a tool or Clay Travis is a tool?
Oh, Clay Travis is a tool. Oh. No.
By the way, he doesn't live out west. He lives about 500 yards from me.
And both things can be so, Chuck. I am also a tool.
Chuck in The View checking in. I guess he has moved on after making his point. Hugh and Bowling Green also on the line who wanted to weigh in on everything that's going on in our world right now. Hugh, thanks for checking in.
Thank you for taking my call. I'm an old man. I'm pushing 80 years old. I'm pushing 80 years old. I'm bad health. If I get it, I'm dead. And I think that what you are missing is this is not this separation. All this, it's not for you. It's for me.
That's right.
Because it'll kill me, and it won't kill you. So I think you need to think about your neighbor.
Oh, no, we are fully united in staying at home. And I haven't really, I left my house to go get, to pick up food one day to support a restaurant that we love and to tip well there. Outside of that, guys, I haven't left really my neighborhood since, I don't know, 2 weeks, two plus weeks. Now we're fully involved in the stay at home deal outside of, as Buck said, getting some exercise and staying away from people. But yeah, I think it's okay to state the facts, and the facts are that the mortality rate in this country is at 1.4% with this thing, but also understand the fact that we need to stay away from each other. And you know, it's funny, like this coronavirus thing is just like politics. People go way on one side or way on the other. It's okay to understand, hey, I need to stay in my house, but also understand that the hope is that this isn't going to kill 500,000 people like was once said.
Yeah, all of these. I mean, it's just another way to divide people, which is the biggest issue that I take. You know, you are going to line people up on either sides, and it's like Colin Kaepernick and kneeling. Once they wade into politics and once these things cross over, they inherently become political. The coronavirus is now a part of a larger political conversation and will continue to be a larger part of a larger political conversation because there's an election cycle coming up. And you guys, if you thought that you wanted sports back now, my God, wait until that thing gets rolling in the next couple months, because that's all that you're going to hear about. And I mean, I will watch an overtime 13-9 touchdownless Titans versus Browns game the year that the Cleveland Browns went winless. I will watch that on repeat as long as it keeps me away from coronavirus in election debate settings. I just can't.
I mean, that's going big, Buck.
Listen, it's sadistic is what it is, Dawn, but this is what people are pushing me to.
I saw somebody write, I'd rather watch an NBA regular season first half of a basketball game than to watch the news come down on both sides. All right, going back to the draft. So if teams have been told to prepare to draft outside of the facility with limited staff, how does that work? What does that look like? What kind of challenge would that be for teams that do – I mean, these are personality types that do things the way that they do them, and they check off boxes. Now they're being asked to go outside the box a little bit, which makes that personality type uncomfortable.
Oh, very much so. But the best ones will adapt and make the situations work. But you guys are asking what it'll look like. Honestly, we're looking for a little clarity ourselves as media. I don't think anybody knows what the protocol is going to be for this stuff like that. I am looking at, we're getting ready to talk to Vrabel and John Robinson next week via media conference call. And so hopefully we'll have a little better idea, at least here locally, of what kind of measures and precautions they're taking. But you're already asking them to do their jobs without all the requisite information that goes into the profiling of these players, that goes into the investment of these players. Because so many people in front offices across football and in scouting departments across football are going to be making an investment in these players. Their jobs will then be tied to the success or the failure of those players. That's why they're trying to push this thing back I know they have this committee of GMs and almost unanimously voted to push this thing back. They just don't have enough time to make the preparations, mostly to keep themselves safe, it would seem, but also to do the right thing with this, because there's just no precedent. When the NFL decides, when the NFL's Physicians Society decides that they're going to pull their staff from doing NFL free agent medical evaluations because there are people, their colleagues, who need help in hospitals with coronavirus and the treatment of patients. We don't have anything to look to and say, okay, this is how this will go in this particular situation. This is a situation unlike any other, and NFL teams are just trying to adapt the same way that we all are, the same way that we talked about in the first segment.
Buck Rising from A to Z Sports hanging out with us in this hour. I heard Mark Howard kind of hint at this maybe this morning. They were in this same discussion about the draft, and he said it and then kind of elaborated on the point. If you're Commissioner Goodell and the powers that be at this point, I think you don't know. If you say, okay, we'll put the draft off, you don't have any idea when it might be able to come back, right? So you say, okay, we'll put it off a week. Well, then what if you have to put it off another week and another week and another week? I think for him, it's just like, maybe at this point. And Buck, the point you made about all the production people who are going to be sitting in a production truck somewhere or a TV studio, that's the part that nobody's talking about. But as far as the NFL team side of it, I think for him, it's everybody's playing by the same rules, kind of one hand tied behind their back. But you can't put something off to a date when you don't know when that date exists. So let's just roll on with it, I think is what he's thinking.
Which is foolish, which is why I have so little respect for Roger Goodell, because the NFL wanders out there every time trying to be the leader on things. They did the same thing with over-punishing when Goodell came into office, and they did the same thing when they tried to be a leader in domestic violence, when our court system can't even figure out how to get that stuff right. Like, the NFL feels the need to be the front-facing entity on these things without having any kind of legitimate experience or preparation outside of, we're going to make these rules, the players are going to abide by them, and then we're going to punish them how we see fit. It's totally arbitrary. And what Adam Silver did, and you can make the argument that Adam Silver should have suspended play in the NBA earlier, but what Adam Silver did, I respected a ton, because there, in a way that we're talking about where nobody has any guidelines on this thing, he just said, okay, suspend it indefinitely. The season is on hold. That takes a lot. That's bringing a lot of things to a screeching halt in a way that somebody who is just a shill for the people that he represents, like Roger Goodell, would not be willing to do. He's willing to do whatever the owners want. And what the owners want, it seems, more than anything, is to keep things normal and to have the NFL be the thing that beats the coronavirus, because they got a CBA done. They got an extra playoff game in. While everybody else is losing their minds, they got free agency, and Tom Brady switched teams for the first time in 20 years, and the NFL rolls on as normal. And they keep pushing for this thing, and I have so little respect for the person that does that job the way that he does it. It's just, Roger Goodell is not somebody that I don't envy him, but I think that there could be a lot more done on his part, a lot more to be an actual leader, which at this point he's just a figurehead.
We'll take a break. Two more segments coming up with Buck Rising from A to Z Sports. Buck has got a word from Buddy Allen Carpet that he'll share with you. And here's the other thing we'll share when we come back. I was catching some of Buck's podcast and broadcast last night, and he got into talking about Nashville's obsession with Marcus Mariota. I want to know what you've learned about Nashville and Marcus Mariota on the other side, Buck. How about that?
I am here for all of that, as were the people last night.
Yes, as always, because they love that guy.
It's a weird obsession. I look forward to dissecting it next.
But first, a word from your sponsor, Buddy Allen Carpet.
Our friends at Buddy Allen Carpet One are still operating with the strategic precautions that everybody is taking during these times. It's really, really difficult to operate under what we, as we've just talked about, we don't know a lot of what's going on in the world, but right now we do know that the Allen family, Zach Judson and Jenna of Buddy Allen Carpet One, want their friends and neighbors with tornado damage to know that they are still here to help you. They work with all insurance companies and are very experienced with restoring homes from natural disaster, which we have just come off the heels of a natural disaster in tornadoes. Now we're facing an unknown disaster in the coronavirus. So it's been quite a run for disasters here in Nashville. But right now they have special pricing and interest-free financing to help ease the financial burden on everyone in the greater Nashville area. In addition to helping those homes affected by the tornado, Buddy Allen Carpet One has made it possible to be open for business without the threat of spreading the COVID-19 virus. They've taken the appropriate measures to ensure the health and safety of both their clients and their staff. They are great people. They are going to continue to take care of the people in Nashville, because right now people in Nashville, they need taken care of. So make sure that you check them out, 615-883-3289 or buddyallencarpet1.com.
No word in the English.
WHL powered by the Tennessee Lottery, calling the show today Spirit of Sports Fest, as we bring Sports Fest to you via our quarantined homes and offices and wherever we're doing the show, and bringing it to you to wherever you are listening today. Buck Rising joins us from his palatial estate in the city of Nashville. Buck and his neighborhood hit hard by the tornadoes, like many other parts of the city, and then on out all the way into Putnam County, Cookeville, etc. Buck, want to ask you, first of all, before we get into some more NFL and Titans talk, how's your neighborhood doing with all that stuff these days? Because I know you've been on the front lines of that.
We really haven't had a chance to see normal again, I guess, because we got through the tornado and then the power came back on. And then the next week was coronavirus. Everybody get the hell back inside. Things are much quieter, I will say, there are still construction crews and NES crews that come through regularly. Obviously, still swaths of my neighborhood here in North Nashville where there was significant structural damage to the houses, and a lot of people had to be relocated. Unfortunately, we're not entirely certain where all of those people relocated to. So better is and feeling hugely supported. And again, I cannot say how grateful I am for everybody who was able to give some kind of effort to all of the people in need for the tornado. That was that I know that was felt over here on the north side and in East Nashville and in all of the other places affected. So we are getting better, if not normal. I went out in the backyard today to just kind of sit in the sun, and it felt like prison yard time because, quarantine.
All right, you were talking about this last night on your broadcast. What have you learned about Titans fans and their love of Marcus Mariota even more in these last, 24 hours?
So there seems to be this very, very bizarre unwillingness to let this man go, whether from either
Buck,
side.
He's not died.
No, but from both sides, there is a very, and maybe it's a vocal minority, as is often the case, but there are very, very loud people about their resentment for Marcus Mariota, whether it be how 2-4 started last year. And I know Paul has talked about this. What position did it potentially cost the Titans that they started 2-4 with the team that they had? In fact, and I would tell Paul this, it feels like he's bullying Marcus Mariota on social media in a way that Marcus can't see and won't see, and it doesn't really matter. But these comments coming out of Oakland about Marcus Mariota wanting to a team that believes in him are totally reasonable. And I see Paul taking shots at him about, it's about what you put on the field and all these things. Paul, it's done. Okay? There are people like Paul who just won't let Marcus Mariota go. And then there are people on the other side who love this guy and refuse to let him go in a way that borderlines cultism. I had somebody compare him to the Messiah of Titans football because he died for their sins.
No.
I swear to God.
Oh, my gosh.
These shows exist in perpetuity on the A to Z Sports Facebook page. You can find the comment. I'm telling you, his name was Zach, and he compared Marcus Mariota to
football. Was it Zach Bingham?
Zach Bingham is far too measured and is probably on the side that refuses to let Marcus Mariota go for hateful reasons. But I don't understand what it is about this guy that makes him so polarizing in a way as a human being, lovely individual, but thoroughly uninteresting. And yet we all gravitate towards Marcus Mariota, and it's been fodder for sports talk conversation for my entire 5 years here. I'm grateful that it has been fodder for sports talk conversation in the 5 years that I've been here. But the inability on both sides of people to just kind of understand that Marcus Mariota now plays for John Gruden's Las Vegas Raiders and that it really doesn't need to be discussed any further. I got kind of corny on social media. I saw all these teams releasing tribute videos to guys like DeAndre Hopkins and players that have mattered who have moved on in the franchise. And I noticed, because I'm on social media too much, that the Titans didn't do anything for Jarrell Casey and Delanie Walker and Marcus Mariota. And I said, I wonder if they will do these things. It's very small. It plays to the fans. It plays to the players. It's just something simple that can be done. And then it became this huge polarizing thing. Like, who needs a tribute video? Does Tajay Sharp need a tribute video? When all it was a simple observation that, sometimes it's nice to appreciate these guys and not just hit them over the head when they're asking for a second chance with a new team.
It's also okay to understand that they'll do something at some point, and we don't need to just jump off our, you know, proverbial cliffs because they haven't done something now for Marcus Mariota and Delanie Walker and Jarrell Casey. I mean, there's some big name, emotionally tied to fans types of players that have exited stage left this offseason. Well, there's plenty of time for it.
And I spoke to people with the Titans that said there's a video coming. And it's been waiting on Marcus Mariota to officially become a Las Vegas Raider. And those things are kind of held up more because of the coronavirus. Now, he's done his availability with Vegas/Oakland media. So you would think this thing, if it's going to be put out, that would be done in some time. But it's really not about that. It's just like something nice that other teams are doing. So why not? And then it became this, the people that resent Marcus Mariota for whatever it was that the end of it, because his career here ultimately was a failure. He was the second overall pick drafted to be the face of the franchise. Failed. It's okay. The team failed him too. But there are great things that he did, and people love him for a reason, and so why not do something decent? And that was the only point I was making, and then it became a big fuss. So I don't understand, Mickey. I don't.
You still seem just as conflicted as when the show started last
because
night.
I spent 10 or 11 minutes here talking about why people still care about Marcus Mariota, and it's all been about Marcus Mariota. I'm a hypocrite.
Buck Rising from A to Z Sports, A to Z Sports Primetime. Are there other cut candidates for this team as you see right now? I think Brennan sent us a list yesterday, the day before. They're still ninth in cap space, but if they're trying to make more moves, trying to create more space, are there some obvious cut candidates for you still at this point?
Not obvious, but was Jarrell Casey obvious? In retrospect, those things make a lot of sense, right? Because it's people are caught up in Clowney, and the Clowney thing is something we haven't touched on that's been plaguing me for the better part of a week now. The Clowney thing sounds great in principle, but it's also just as much about freeing up the $13 million next year when you're looking for money for Jayon Brown and Jonnu Smith and Adoree Jackson, whose fifth-year option I would imagine they would pick up. All of those things matter in not just for 2020, but for 2021, which doesn't make Titans fans feel any better about the fact that Jarrell Casey went for a seventh and Kyle Allen went for a fifth the other day. People are angry about that. I understand. But it doesn't necessarily have to mean an immediate corresponding move, or at least an immediate corresponding move with the caliber of player that I think fans have hyped themselves up into thinking that they're going to get.
Well, I don't think they're done in free agency.
No.
Maybe Clowney happens. My guess is he ends up back in Seattle. That's my guess on that. But I don't think they're done. But, yes, they do have some contracts that are coming up. And the reason Jarrell Casey leaves town for a seventh-round pick is, as you said, to enable yourself to have more economic freedom.
It makes too much sense for them to not do it, even though, you know, I think I certainly didn't see it coming. I don't think anybody really saw it coming outside of Ian Rappaport saying that they had quietly been open to offers for him. When it comes to the guys still on the roster, I think they're pretty well set with the people that they have in the building. It's about how they fit the rest of it, how they fit guys around that core. I can't imagine that they would be, they're not done. There's still players that need to be added, and the health situation with the NFL being shuttered as of Wednesday at 5 p.m. Central Time, and now there being less medical involvement in the processing of free agents, it's going to gum everything up. And so signings that may have been on the verge of being done, and teams were getting ready to get these guys checked out by their individual team physicians, those things have been postponed, and likely the rest of the roster-filling bit parts that you put in to add to your depth and to your rotation, which is now the part of free agency that we're in, is more likely that we'll see. Logan Ryan is still a possibility. I think that the reason Logan's still out there is because Logan refuses to move off this $10 million plus price tag that he would like to see for himself.
One more segment coming up with Buck Rising from A to Z Sports, at Buck Rising on Twitter, at A2Z Sports. You can find him there and find the rest of his A to Z Sports crew covering all sorts of Nashville Sports all the time. They do a great job. And we'll return one more segment with Buck after this on 3HL.
This is Dan Watt.
Through HL, powered by the Tennessee Lottery, Buck Rising hanging out with us from A to Z Sports, brought to you by Buddy Allen Carpet One for one more segment. We kind of got the tip of the iceberg on the Clowney thing, Buck. I know you wanted to get into that a little bit more as Titans fans eagerly await on Twitter each and every day the announcement that he will join their team.
Yes, that is something that continues to be. Titans Twitter is my favorite. It's a cesspool. There is much stupidity there, and many unreasonable takes and opinions that every day I just submerge myself into like a bath. But the thing that people have, yeah, it's a vision. It's an audio medium, baby. I'm just trying to paint a picture.
Okay.
Everybody come on in. Now, the Clowney thing is interesting because people are now making the justification for why the Titans have not signed Jadeveon Clowney is because medical evaluations for NFL teams have been put on hold. When in reality, that is merely the cherry on top of the unorganized cake that this has become. Because Jadeveon Clowney, the reason none of the because not even the national reporters, the guys who get everything, the guys who are on group text with the agents, and that's why Rappaport and Schefter tweet things within seconds of each other. Nobody is willing to get anywhere close to this thing, and instead it's some Seahawks for Life guy that Rappaport follows on Twitter that everybody continues to send to us as if we're supposed to make anything out of this. The thing that we know for certain is that the Titans had some kind of offer, were one of several teams to have interest in Jadeveon Clowney. Then that interest dissipated as the mood of Jadeveon Clowney and the price tag of Jadeveon Clowney, in his personal opinion, was more than what teams were offering. Jadeveon Clowney is out there still, not just for the Titans, but for everybody, because of years and because of guaranteed money. These are the two things that they have not been able to close the gap on, whether it be the Titans or the Seahawks, or I know the Colts were kind of in it towards the end, but then got out of it. Like all of these teams that are interested in Clowney, they're hitting this point where they're getting to a guy, he's saying, you know, I want $4 million than what Dante Fowler's got, and he's the next closest guy in my free agent class to me. This is way more than Jadeveon Clowney statistically is worth. Now, you can traffic in potential if you want to, but his value in terms of the amount of time that he wants to commit to teams, because he wants a shorter deal, he wants to be able to hit the market again while he's still able to cash in, and then the guaranteed money of all of it, which is being complicated by how long term a deal do you give this guy? These are the reasons why any Clowney deal is being held up, and the COVID-19 cancellation of medical evaluations or postponement of medical evaluations is just the thing that kind of puts what's maybe not the nail in the coffin, but helps close it a little more.
What about all the double teams, though, Buck?
Oh, the double teams. Yeah, Austin Johnson was really helping you with the double teams. Nobody's going to miss Austin Johnson. They're going to have to draft interior defensive line, probably higher than we would have all naturally anticipated when we were paying attention to these guys at the NFL Combine. I think there are guys from Auburn who, there are many of these players. Marlon Davidson is one who I have seen talked about in the later part of the first round. Guys that would fit what you want to do. There's also dudes like Derek Wolfe, who are not a sexy name, but would be able to help play along your defensive line. Marcus Golden is another name at outside linebacker who has solid numbers both against the run and against the pass that are much more economical. There are things that can be done, and all of these things, mind you, are being held up by the fact that football is kind of shut down for the time being and then being reopened for reevaluation, I think, April 6th. But at this point, the Clowney thing is so much more unrealistic than it is realistic, and I don't know why people just continue to attach themselves to this guy for any other reason besides he's a name that they recognize.
think Titans fans, a lot of them, if you look, they'll list all the times they've been let down in the big free agent, you know, fishing frenzy. It started with Peyton Manning for a lot of people. And over the years, whether it's been Tom Brady this time, I think for a lot of Titans fans, they just want to see the team throw some money at one of these whales one day just to throw their hat in the ring, because that's just typically not something that happens here. And maybe that's what they want.
But whose fault is that if they're disappointed then? That's the product of their own expectations. Nobody told you you were going to get Jadeveon Clowney when the offseason started. Why? What makes you think that this is something that you know best, that you know is going to work best for your team? He would help you. The front defensive line of the Titans, that front seven, would be dangerous. The starting front seven for the Titans would be dangerous the minute you insert him into that lineup, whether he's the explosive player or whether he's freeing guys up to make plays against man-on-man situations.
I'm glad you said that, because that's true. Now, here's the thing. Why can't people get excited about the possibility of adding a Peyton Manning, a Tom Brady, a Jadeveon Clowney? And if it doesn't happen, why do you have to turn to disappointment? Why can't you just move on to the next thing? Oh, I think it's okay to get excited and then not be disappointed if what you want to happen didn't happen.
Because the thing that tilts all of this into the prism of anger when things don't go right is because this is a team that's supposed to compete. This is a team that is supposed to be on the precipice of Super Bowl, and so everybody's looking for the one player that can help you get through the AFC Championship game.
Right.
Is that one player Tom Brady? Is it Jadeveon Clowney? You just need one player. When reality sets in and you need more like 10 because you have 16 or 17 unrestricted free agents this year, and half of the team that was on the roster in January is not going to be a part of this roster. People don't take those things into account. They assume status quo or improvement into the next year in a way that we shouldn't in sports, because that's just not the way that rosters turn over.
Give us some extensive scouting reports on Ty Sambrylo and Nick DeZubnar.
So Austin Stanley, my buddy at A to Z Sports, had this stat about the Titans offensive lineman with Sambrio or Sambrylo, however you pronounce his last name, with his addition, because he has caught touchdowns previously in his professional history. The offensive line for the Titans has the same number of NFL receiving touchdowns as they do wide receivers with an NFL receiving touchdown. So Taylor Lewan, Dennis Kelly, David Questenberry, and Ty Sambrylo, Adam Humphries, Corey Davis, A.J. Brown, Khalif Raymond. There are four offensive linemen with receiving touchdowns on the Titans.
That's unbelievable.
Wide receivers.
Four offensive linemen have at least one touchdown catch in the NFL.
So the next time Mike Vrabel tries to dismiss one of our, hey, you caught unconventional touchdowns from Tom Brady, is this something that you like? Now he's clearly being proven wrong. Clearly he has a preference for fat guy touchdowns, because there's a lot of fat guys in the end zone for the Tennessee Titans.
There's nothing better than fat guy touchdowns, because that leads to fat guys dancing and celebrating, and there's nothing better than fat guys dancing and celebrating.
I believe that's called the truffle shuffle. I call for that for the next touchdown celebration.
Yes.
Hey, are you ready to see Oilers helmets? Because Bruce Arians just casually said, we're going to have more than one helmet in 2021, which no one had said ever when he was talking about the Bucks creamsicles. Buck, you're a young Buck, but do you remember the glory that was Oilers helmets, creamsicle Bucks, Pat the Patriot? Do you remember these glorious things that we will be seeing again now, according to Bruce Arians?
You know, I never saw them live. Those things predate me by a good amount, but it's common misconception that I just don't do any preparation for my job, or at least that's the thing that has followed me around for some time now. I researched the history of the Houston Oilers. I have watched games from every season of Houston Oilers football dating back to 1960, so I could understand exactly the history of what is now the Tennessee Titans. So I have seen these things via YouTube, but never in person. I am all for the Tennessee Titans getting to wear the Houston Oilers uniforms, if in fact the league does allow for that variation in 2021. Because that's the thing. That's why the Rams looked so funky for a while, when they had the one helmet from St. Louis and then the other with the new uniforms from the Rams. All of these things, it's just overcomplicating. It's like Peyton Manning not being able to wear Where are the high tops for Johnny Unitas? Like, what is the big deal?
I'm showing an Oilers helmet on Skype Vision, so no one can see this except for Don, Mickey, and Buck, but there it is.
It's beautiful.
The oil, Derek, gorgeous. Is beautiful.
I love...
Take a picture of that and send it out.
It's my favorite kind of blue that the Titans have, and it's the one that they wear the most infrequently.
Love it.
All right, before we let you go, just off the cuff, what's your favorite uniform combo that they currently have? Of all the available combos, what's your favorite? We're going to ask this one day on the air during our social distancing. What is it for you now?
All Navy. The easy answer is all white, but I love the all Navy. I think those are best. Sneaky second is the all, I think it's not Carolina blue. There is a different kind of blue as Brent is wearing the helmet. Tremendous. That wearing the Oilers helmet here on Skype for nobody to see but us. So this is thoroughly entertaining. I am an all Navy person. When it comes to my favorite Titans uniform combinations. I don't like when they try to match the blue on blue. I think it gets too much.
There you go. Buck Rising, A to Z Sports, at A to Z Sports, at Buck Rising, A to Z Sports Primetime. Buck, tell people when they can catch that each night.
Sunday through Thursday night, 8 p.m. Central Time, streaming on Facebook Live and on Periscope. Just give us a follow at A to Z Sports. We've got some pretty good stuff on Instagram, too.
Real quick, while you were talking about Clowney, I was trying to figure out why you have a power button on your left shoulder. And I put that out on Twitter, and somebody said it was to activate Malcolm Butler from Iowa.
I'll do it now. See?
And with that,
he's clear.
We say he's goodbye clear. To the 2 o'clock hour, Buck Rising, and the newly activated Malcolm Butler. We'll be back, more 3HL after this. The first.